This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Pricing in climate change. Happy 4th of July, everyone, from Marketplace in New York. I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. When investors decide whether to buy a country's bonds, they consider a lot of things: inflation, interest rates, whether the country will pay them back. Bond investors are now considering something else: climate change. Countries that are particularly vulnerable to climate change are paying significantly more to borrow from the financial markets as investors price in environmental risks. The BBC's Vivian Nunes has more.
We've known for a long time that climate change will have economic costs, but a study co-authored by Charles Donovan at the Imperial College in London finds that countries most affected by climate change are being hit with a double whammy: the increased costs caused by abnormal weather events and higher priced debt.
So a country like Kenya, which would be suffering maybe not from such dramatic things like hurricanes, but something very long-lived like drought, which begins to affect agricultural production, which then begins to affect exports and ultimately has an impact on the country's bottom line. These are the kinds of things that we see that are deteriorating the ratings of these countries with regards to their international standing and ultimately ends up having them pay higher interest costs. What is needed is for the international community to think about risk mitigation that can help pool these risks in a way that we can avoid some of these impacts.
If that doesn't happen, Dr. Donovan says countries vulnerable to climate change could pay an extra $170 billion in interest rates over the next decade.
The BBC's Vivian Nunes. Chinese telecom company ZTE can do business in the U.S. starting this week for a month. This is the Chinese company that was originally banned back in April from doing business here for repeatedly violating U.S. sanctions against North Korea and Iran. ZTE was given a new lease on life by the president in trade negotiations with China. The company has to pay a fine, replace its leadership, and hire U.S. compliance officers. While ZTE prepares to meet those conditions, the Commerce Department says it can do business with its current partners here. It cannot, however, do new business until those terms are met. Let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.3%. The German DAX is down 0.1%. And Hong Kong's Hang Seng index is down 1%. U.S. markets are closed for the 4th of July. We are two quarters into the year, and we are dealing with tariffs, a budding trade war, possible inflation, rising interest rates, and markets that have been on a wild ride. This would normally be a situation where you'd see people parking their money in gold. That's what typically happens when you get uncertainty and volatility shaking things up. Investors find refuge in gold. But as Marketplace's Justin Ho reports, that has not been happening.
Gold's been the safe haven of safe havens since around 3000 BC. But even with all the economic drama, gold prices are down almost 4% this year to around $1,250 an ounce. Peter Krauth is with Money Map Press, an independent research firm.
You know, gold's not the only safe haven. You've got currencies, whether it's the dollar or any other sort of major currency. These days, you've even got cryptocurrencies.
And government bonds. Boring, but usually safe. Gold can ping around, and it's high maintenance.
Gold just sits there. It's got some small costs if you hold it physically and you're paying for storage.
But this whole conversation may be a bit premature. Markets are still strong, and interest rates are rising, but slowly. And, says David Song, a currency analyst with Daily FX,
central banks are very reluctant to really just pull the rug under the markets.
He says investors can feel pretty safe where they are, even if checking that retirement account can be a little scary. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Barnes & Noble is letting its CEO go after barely a year on the job, but it's not giving many details on why, just saying he violated company policies. Demos Parneros became CEO of Barnes & Noble in April of last year. He's not getting severance, nor is he staying on the company's board.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
A lot of malls are struggling to compete with online retailers, and a lot of them are expected to fail in the near future. But some are fighting back with a strategy that relies on providing a place to have fun. Amazon can get you your pants pretty quick and pretty cheap, but can it entertain you? With that in mind, the same developer that built the Mall of America in Minnesota is planning to build another huge complex in Miami. Some wonder if they'll have buyer's remorse. Maria Bacalupolo reports.
Financial giant Credit Suisse estimates up to a quarter of malls in America will close within the next 5 years. So some mall owners are betting non-retail offerings, like live music and recreation, will help them stay in business. Developer Triple Five is investing $4 billion in a project called American Dream Miami. Miguel Diaz de la Portilla is a lawyer for the developer.
Well, we're not a mall, and we don't call ourselves a mall. And yes, of course, there's a retail component, but it's not a run-of-the-mill mall.
The 6.2 million square foot complex will include an indoor ski slope, live performance spaces, and an indoor water park. Some existing malls see American Dream Miami as a threat. Half an hour away, there's a new 9-story glass and steel slide that is part of the Aventura Mall. Miami-Dade Commissioner Daniela Levine-Cava, who cast the only vote against American Dream Miami's zoning application, explains.
We do have some rather large malls in the area. A group of them were very concerned and did protest this application because they thought it would cannibalize their activities.
In addition, she says there are environmental concerns.
A huge number of acres under glass, air conditioned, without any clear commitment to energy efficiencies and solar, things like that, will create a larger carbon footprint.
There are also potential traffic issues. The mall developers estimate that it will draw 30 million visitors a year. Diana Cardenas commutes through the area to get to work.
For me, this is a bad idea. I would actually consider moving because of the traffic.
Diaz de la Portilla says the mall should create more than 14,000 jobs.
It's going to be one of the largest private employers in Miami-Dade County.
American Dream Miami plans to open in 2023. In Miami, I'm Maria Bacalupolo for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.